What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie. And welcome to episode 8 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. As Jordan said, episode 8. Time flies. I cannot believe it's week 12 in the NFL. Our listens are up over 500 total at this point. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to the show. All the positive reviews we've been getting on Apple Podcasts and the reviews from everybody. Seems like every day running into people, whether it's work or friends, who say, hey, when are you recording the next show? Looking forward to it. Can't wait. And I have to say, you know, week 12 of the NFL this year brings on what is always a great time for football fans and a great holiday for Americans. Thanksgiving, time to get together with family. Might be a little bit different in certain locations because of what's going on throughout the country with COVID. But at the end of the day, hopefully it does not take away of what's special about the holiday. Get together with your immediate family and watch football. One of the great things about Thanksgiving with football is you have three games consecutively. They're not playing at the same time. You can focus on each game. You can enjoy them. You know, the Lions usually kick off around 12:30 and the games go straight through the night. You could be up till midnight watching football. So another great episode we have ahead for you guys. We have another special, special guest. We are so lucky that people out in the Twitter universe and the fantasy football experts have been so responsive and they're so happy to pitch in, come on the show. I mean, it's just reaching out to people and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you mind joining us? So our guest this week is a fantasy analyst for At Talk Primetime, New Life Fantasy, At Fantasy Six Packs. Just last week, Fantasy Pros had him ranked for week 10 as the number one fantasy expert in the country. Let that hit. Number one fantasy expert in the country. We're going to brag for him because we're proud he's taking time to join us. And for the season, he's number 10 in the country. Again, for all those millions of people out there who play fantasy and strive week to week to make the right calls, we can't overstate how impressive that is. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Jacob Dunn.
Hey, guys. Man, I am very humbled by that intro. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's an honor to be on your show because when Jordan reached out to me and said it was a father-son duo, I thought that was incredibly cool of you guys to do, and I jumped at the chance for it.
thank you so much, Jacob. And as we always start off, we were wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you got involved in fantasy, how long you've been doing it, how you became an expert. You know, do you have any methods to the madness of how you pick your players and rank them? Are you a data guy? The floor is yours. We love to hear this stuff.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, I mean, it's a funny story. I mean, I've been doing fantasy ever since I was like 12 years old. You know, football, basketball, baseball. I just love fantasy sports. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago, I was scouted by one of the people that I was in a league with. He actually runs his own podcast. And he saw my ratings on Yahoo and how I had a diamond level in each sport, which means, you know, it's like the highest level at each sport. And, you know, he was like, hey, do you ever think about writing? And I was like, I'm an English teacher. So I love writing, you know? And so I said, I've always wanted to write about sports. So we decided to start up a website together called New Life Fantasy, as you said earlier. And, ever since then I've been writing at least an article per week. And just a year or so went by, I applied onto Fantasy Pros and they accepted me. And then, you know, they wanted me to do their accuracy competition. And like I said earlier, I got first last week. I've been fourth. I've been seventh. I've been first earlier in the season as well. So, I mean, it's been such a blast. And it's really cool to see those names that, you know, I'm beating each week. Like, you know, like the fantasy giants, like Scott Pianowski, Jake Seeley, you know, all those guys on the Fantasy Footballers. You know, it's really cool to see my name amongst those guys. So I just, you know, it's incredibly humbling and it's been a ton of fun. And as far as how I rank, I mean, to be honest, I usually go with my gut. You know, like I'm like, if I had all of these players and I wanted to build the perfect lineup, here's who I would start first and then second, third, fourth, all the way up to like number 60. So really I just go with my gut, and that's exactly what I tell everyone who asks for my advice. I said, this is what I would do, but I would go with your gut.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And giving us insight into how you sort of got discovered and you have to apply to Fantasy Pros. It's very good to hear those type of things. We had Ken Zales, who is regularly a top 10 ranked guy, also on a couple weeks ago. So it amazes us when we're playing every week to, you know, try to do the best we can when there are people out there who could be ranked as you are. You know, you mentioned, are you involved in any other fantasy sports?
Yes, I also do fantasy basketball and fantasy baseball. To be honest, I don't enjoy it as much as fantasy football, just because fantasy basketball and baseball take so much more work because it's such a grind. But I do enjoy that grind. But now that I'm a dad and, you know, I have a full-time job, it's really hard to stick to that grind. With fantasy football, you know, it's once a week, you know, and they play on Monday and Thursday. It's a lot easier to keep up with, even though fantasy football, I would say, is the most random sport to predict week by week. That's what makes it so fun to me. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you have a newborn. Do you have a child who came recently? Boy, girl?
Yeah. I have a 2-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And what's funny is that I started writing and, you know, I entered the fantasy world as she was born. So it's like the worst possible time I could start a side career, you know, I did. But I mean, it's been quite the challenge. It's been quite the journey, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been a blast.
Awesome. So cool. So cool. Okay. Jordan, you want to take it away?
Well, without further ado, let's kick off our NFL Week 12 preview with the 12:30 game on Thursday. The Houston Texans versus the Detroit Lions. Coming into the game, Texans coming off a solid win against the New England Patriots, and then Detroit really dropping the ball against a struggling Carolina Panthers team, who didn't even have Teddy Bridgewater to start the game. They had P.J. Walker, I think, playing his first NFL game, and they got the win. I don't think Detroit found the red zone once. They're obviously without Kenny Golladay and DeAndre Swift. Hopefully they come back this week. I think Swift has a better chance of playing than Golladay. I saw Swift was limited in practice today, and Golladay was unfortunately out. So if you need a guy, Marvin Jones, not a bad start this week. And then looking at the Houston side, I think Duke Johnson obviously start him. Detroit's the worst run defense in the league. Will Fuller, obviously, a solid start. And a guy who's, I think, been under the radar, Brandon Cooks, averaging, I think, 6 to 9 targets a game. And he's picking up decent amount of yards per game. So I think he's a solid start in both standard and PPR.
Yeah, the only two things I'll hit on with that, Duke Johnson, I've had him in my lineup the past 2 weeks in standard. You know, when you have players like that, you watch the games a little bit more closely. I just can't help but see him getting stuck in the mud. He just does not look like he can get anything going. On the Detroit side of things, I really hope DeAndre Swift plays. I was ready to queue him up this past weekend in 3 leagues. And I don't want to say he cost me some wins because I had some other questionable decisions, but I lost, unfortunately. Jacob, what are your thoughts on that game and what to look for?
Yeah. First of all, I'm crossing my fingers that DeAndre Swift plays. You know, if he is deemed healthy, he is a top 10 back for me this week. And I also like Watson a lot. He's my quarterback 6 this week. I love the weapons around him. Like Jordan said, you know, Cooks has been an under-the-radar play. You know, he's been quietly producing wide receiver 2 numbers. And I also love Fuller. You know, he's the wide receiver 1 every single week as long as those hamstrings stay up. And then for the Lions, you know, like you said, Marvin Jones is a volume-based wide receiver 2 if Golladay can't go. If Golladay does go somehow, he's definitely a wide receiver 1. And Jones is just a, you know, kind of like a what-the-heck flex play. It's like, I'll see if perhaps Golladay can take some coverage off of Jones, but I'm not really playing him if I don't have to. You know, and Stafford has been struggling lately, but it is because Swift, you know, Swift was out and Galladay was out. So it's like, who can he throw to other than Jones? You know, there's Marvin Hall and there's Quintus Cephas, but you know, we're, those aren't really names that you want to plug into your lineup, you know? So, you know, if Swift and Galladay are in, then Stafford's like a top 15 play, a top 10 play, maybe. If they're out, then I would fade Stafford.
Yeah. I definitely hope Galladay and Swift play to make it a, because usually the 12-30 games in prior years have been a little one-sided, and I think if Galladay and Swift do play, I think it'll be a pretty decent matchup.
Yep.
But moving on to the 4:30 game, which is actually an interesting game because if one of these teams win and the Eagles and Giants both lose, I think they take over first place in the NFC East. The Washington football team versus the Dallas Cowboys. I think one of the big things in this game is the receivers. Terry McLaurin has been, I think, top maybe 7 in the league. He's like really putting his name with like the DeAndre Hopkins, the Julio Jones. And then on the other side, you got Andy Dalton leading the way for Dallas. And you got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup. And who knows who to start at this point. I mean, it's honestly just throw a dart at the dartboard.
Yeah, I would probably stay away from all the Dallas wide receivers if you have the luxury. But if you don't, you got to put them in there. I did think Dallas played a little bit of inspired football this past weekend, although they were playing the Minnesota Vikings. I do think Dallas plays better on Thanksgiving and they're home. They're inspired. They're one of the big games of the day. They're America's team. I'm not really sure how I see this game going at the end of the day. I mean, you know, Washington has Antonio Gibson, who's been rock solid. J.D. McKissick out of the backfield. Alex Smith, I think at this point, he knows how to manage a game and he's bright. So he's going to keep Washington in the game with the defense there. I'd probably lean Washington, but again, in Dallas,
yeah, I think the America's front, team, front seven for the Redskins, make a
tough
huge
on
difference.
The road. Jacob, what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that came up is that Washington's defense is quietly ranked second in fantasy points in terms of how many points they allow to the wide receiver position. So I agree with you. Like, it's going to be tough to start Cooper, Gallup, all those guys. But if you have to start one, then Cooper is definitely like a middling wide receiver too. But on the other side of the ball, Washington has an incredible matchup. I always start anyone who's facing the Cowboys. I recommend that you just attack that defense because that defense is awful. You know, like Gibson has an incredible matchup. He's my RB8, you know, and like you said, J.D. McKissick is a nice PPR play. You know, he's a safe floor play. You know, and after Zeke's big game last week and Dalton showing signs of life, Zeke goes back into that RB1 territory. You know, like not elite status, but that volume plus he's showing signs of life, you know, he's definitely a top 10 option this week. Yeah, so, sure. You know, I think that game's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's going to be great to see Alex Smith, because I haven't seen him play at least on TV yet ever since he came back from that gruesome injury. So it's going to be a fun game. And like you guys said, you know, it's not Thanksgiving without watching the Dallas Cowboys play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
Definitely rooting for Antonio Gibson. I have him in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
But I'm continuing to the Thursday night football game, if it's played, hopefully, due to COVID, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think one of the biggest storylines this year has been Lamar Jackson. After an MVP season last season, has finally come down to earth a little bit. And I'm not going to say it's all his fault, because obviously not many weapons for him on offense. When you look at the wide receiver core, just Marquise Hollywood Brown not really showing anything in fantasy or in the real game. Mark Andrews, I think, is probably the only person besides maybe Lamar I would consider starting against Pittsburgh, just because a lot of targets, huge red zone threat. But besides him, I don't even know if you start Lamar this week. It's just a tough matchup.
It is a tough matchup. I do think you have to start him. As we've said the last couple weeks, start your studs. I've been burned when I went against that. At the end of the day, we talked early in the season about the risk of Lamar going a little bit backwards. We've seen that happen with certain running quarterbacks in the past, like Michael Vick. In terms of the Ravens season going forward, I was looking today. They actually have the weakest schedule for the rest of the season, including the game against Pittsburgh, which says a lot about the games after Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think you do have to start Lamar, Mark Andrews. It looks like it's going to be the Gus Edwards show in the backfield. As I told Jordan earlier today, it seems like the NFL's mentality is test for COVID except on game day, and it's Thanksgiving. They're going to do everything they can to get this game played. It reminds me of the San Francisco game a couple weeks ago against Green Bay. Even if Baltimore's severely undermanned, they're going to try to play this game because they don't want to lose the prime time game. I do expect Pittsburgh to play this game, you know, to actually win big in this game. I mean, between that defense and the offensive weapons they have there, three wide receivers, James Conner, who's been overshadowed by the wide receivers, and Big Ben, I would put my money on Pittsburgh. Jacob, what are your thoughts on the evening game of the Turkey Day?
Yeah, first of all, I am very much a start your studs kind of guy. I agree with you there. You know, Lamar, you know, his floor as a rushing quarterback cannot be underestimated. You know, it's very hard to sit him. It's very hard to justify sitting him unless you have, let's say, like, you picked up Justin Herbert. And it's like, okay, I'm going to play that matchup over him. But, you know, there's very few options I would play anyone over Jackson, despite his struggles. But I agree with everything you guys said about the Ravens. It's a bummer that we can't see J.K. Dobbins build on that crazy performance from last week, but Gus Edwards should get enough to be an RB2 this week. You know, and like you said, Marquise Hollywood Brown, he is unstartable. Don't even think about it. It's insane how far he's fallen from grace this season, you know. And Mark Andrews, you know, he's kind of fallen from grace too, even though he had that great game last week. But he's kind of been like a touchdown dependent boomer bust tight end one. You know, you can get a tight end one or just a tight end 20. You know, it's crazy. But start all your Steelers. They have been on fire. Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, if he plays.
Yeah.
He did tweak his ankle. If he sits, then Deontay and Claypool become an even stronger play. But, I mean, there's no reason not to start Big Ben, James Conner, Deontay Johnson, and Claypool. Even though the Ravens' defense is tough, the Steelers are at home. And that, you know, I always favor the offensive players at home. So start all your Steelers for sure.
Yeah, I just want to mention a guy, if you were looking to trade away and try to get a better player, is James Conner. Not getting as many touches. Pittsburgh's becoming a pass-first offense. And I think Benny Snell has gotten the majority of the goal line work this year. So
yeah, I think I think part of the problem is with that in a lot of leagues, you're either at the trading deadline.
Yeah, I think tomorrow, for Thursday at 12 o'clock. In most ESPN leagues.
But it is something to watch, especially if you have a bench spot and you're looking to pick somebody up who has some upside the rest of the season. You know, one thing that I do on a week-to-week basis when I have spots on my benches, and this year's tougher than others, is I'll just grab a flyer running back, see how he plays for a week. You never know if he picks up.
Like a Wayne Gallman. Yeah.
Wayne Gallman, man, he's ended up panning out for people. And I think Cam Akers is one of those guys. If he's available in one of your leagues, just get him and stash him on your bench because he looks like he's picking up some momentum the last couple weeks.
Yep. Well, that's it for the Thursday games. Let's move on to Sunday. I think an underrated matchup this week, you got the Chargers playing the Bills. Bills at home. And despite the records, I think it's a pretty interesting game when you got the Chargers, who I think hopefully are getting Eckler back. I know fantasy owners will be happy about that. But you got Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Eckler matching up against this powerhouse offense of the Bills with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, even Cole Beasley, PPR monster, and Zach Moss in the backfield. So I really like this matchup this week. I think the Bills will come out with the win, but I think most people on both offenses are must-starts this week just because both defenses have been struggling and these offenses are ridiculous. So
Jacob, what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, that is – the Chargers versus Bills is a low-key one of my favorite matchups. I think it's going to be an incredible show to watch. You know, I have Josh Allen as my quarterback too in my early rankings because I think he's going to ball out, which makes Diggs a huge play. You know, I think he is a top-five option this week. And then on the other side, Keenan Allen's a top-five option too because I think – Allen and Herbert are going off.
Yep.
And so that means that Diggs and Allen will go off as well. I do like the tight end for the Chargers, Hunter Henry. I think he has a solid matchup. I don't really like any of the Bills running backs. I can't trust I just can't trust Singletary or Moss. But I do trust Kalen Ballage on the Chargers.
Right.
As long as Eckler doesn't make a surprise return, because he's been on Twitter just, you know, saying that he's nearing a return, but he's been saying that for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know when he will, but Ballage is a safe RB2 for as long as Eckler is out.
Yeah.
But like you said, this is going to be a super fun game.
Yep. I think totally. I read today that the Chargers are planning on activating Eckler within the week. So be on the lookout for that. Moving on, we can just touch upon this game real quick. Not much. Giants versus Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, headline, Joe Burrow going down, out for the season. Yeah. Possibly out at the beginning of next season with ACL torn, MCL torn. Just a lot of
downgrade all the Bengals significantly. Maybe Giovanni Bernard just getting dump off passes. Yeah,
but I think a waiver pickup for if you're looking for a defense. The Giants, obviously, I think they're top 10 now. And I think after this game, they may even be like top 8, top 7. I think a great matchup on paper. Looking at the offense for the Giants, I don't think Daniel Jones is a bad start this week. He's not scoring the big points, but he's not turning the ball over, which is what Giants fans want. Wayne Gallman, obviously, plug him in. He's been pretty solid as a waiver pickup. And then I think most of the receivers, if you're looking for a guy, not bad starts at all.
No, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to just quick pick a couple of these games just because from a fantasy standpoint, there's not much there. So, Jacob, you want to talk briefly about the Dolphins and the Jets?
Yeah, yeah. So Tua is my quarterback 19. I can't really trust him in terms of fantasy right now. You know, like he's just pretty much a game manager as he's learning the game. And Flacco is Flacco. Leave him on the wire. But I would be starting Salvon Ahmed. I think he has one more week of volume as long as Gaskin is on the IR. He's definitely an RB2 for me, and Devontae Parker is a wide receiver too. And on the other side of the ball, it's hard to trust any of these Jets players. Frank Gore is the ultimate low-floor play. You are guaranteed to get 5 to 10 points, but that's it. There's absolutely no ceiling, and I wouldn't really trust anyone on this Jets offense. Yeah,
not even Crowder.
Okay.
As much as it kills me to say.
He only got like 2 targets, so I can't trust him right now.
Yeah. I have a quick prediction in a second, but I'm going to make everybody hold their breath and just to remind them, they're listening to episode 8 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sportscast, week 12 NFL preview with our guest Jacob Dunn, fantasy pros number one expert in the country in week 10 and number 10 accuracy expert in the season. And it's our pleasure to have him here. I am picking the Jets to win this game. So let's remember that one. I think I heard a couple players talking this weekend about the fact that nobody wants to go winless, despite the fact that Adam Gase may want to lose every game. The Jets have been playing hard, especially in the second half. I think they play hard typically in Miami games. They're at home. So my pick for the upset of the week is the New York Jets.
I totally disagree, but that's besides the point. I just think that the Dolphins are fighting for a playoff spot. They came off a rough loss to Denver. I know, Denver fan. I think the Dolphins win by double digits, but that's just my opinion. All right, moving on. We got the Raiders versus the Falcons.
This should be another game with fantasy fireworks both sides.
Matt Ryan coming off, I think, one of his worst performances of the year against a top 5 Saints defense under the radar.
Julio was banged up.
Yeah, Julio was banged up. I think he'll most likely be good to go this week. I know he's like injured every other week, so be on the lookout for that. Ridley still putting up solid numbers. Hayden Hurst with a donut last week. I know fantasy owners weren't happy about that, but I expect him to have a solid game this week. Todd Gurley, I think you have to start. I think he's a higher upside play, not PPR compared to PPR, just because he's the goal line back. He gets all the touchdowns.
And last weekend might have been one of the first games in the last 2 years.
I think just the pace of the game kind of ruined his fantasy. But looking at the other side, Las Vegas, Derek Carr, I think one of the most underrated quarterbacks, maybe not in fantasy, but actually in the NFL. I mean, they gave the Chiefs a run for their money. They beat the Chiefs the first time.
Couple of weeks, he is a fantasy guy. Yeah. I mean, he's got a very good schedule.
But, yeah, Derek Carr, not a bad start this week against a bad Falcons defense. Darren Waller, obviously, top two tight end. No one's passing Kelce, but he's my tight end too. Ruggs, don't think he's a bad start. I mean, he's a little bit of a boomer bust type of guy, but I don't think he's a bad start. And then Josh Jacobs, I think you got to plug him in no matter what.
Well, the only thing I'll add to that before we get Jacobs' take on the game is Nelson Agholor has been solid under the radar. I think people look at this guy and they remember his disappointments over previous seasons. I personally think I've picked him up and dropped him on one team three times this year and never started him. But he's got a very nice schedule coming up along with Derek Carr and the Raiders. Jacob, what is your take on that game?
Yeah, it's great to see Derek Carr get some love in the fantasy community lately, because I've been hyping him up a few times this year as a streaming option in smash spots, and he's always delivered. You know, this week is no different going up against a Falcons team that's giving up 300-plus passing yards per game. I think Josh Jacobs is in a great spot. He's my RB6 for this week, and at wide receiver, like you just said, Nelson Agholor is a solid wide receiver 3 play after his huge game last week, after he caught 6 catches on 9 targets for 88 yards and a score. Yep. And Ruggs, to me, I agree, Jordan, is a boomer bust play. But if he booms, man, he's getting 2 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, you know? If he doesn't get those long plays, then it's just a – man, yeah, it's – it's a bummer, and Renfro to me is a low floor play in PPR leagues. And on the other side of the ball with the Falcons, I have Matt Ryan as my quarterback 14. He did struggle last week, but I think he'll bounce back at home this week. Julio is questionable, so I would definitely keep an eye on that. If he plays, he's a top 10 option. Ridley is right behind him as my wide receiver 12. Both are wide receiver ones this week if they do indeed play. Yeah. Gurley to me is just a low end flex with some upside. You know, I urged everyone not to draft him this year, and he's absolutely proving me right. I mean, he's really been a boomer bust running back too. You know, he's just not the same player we saw a few years back. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why the Rams got rid of him. You know, and Hurst to me, he has tight end one upside. But he keeps on disappointing week after week. So I just don't see how you can start him with confidence this week. Mm-hmm. If Julio is out, though, I would trust him as a volume play because he's bound to get some targets.
Yeah. I really hope Julio plays.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I drafted Todd Gurley in the third round this year in my big money league. And it's not PPR, so pretty happy so far with the results.
What's amazing about that is that not only did he take Gurley in the third round, this is a league I'm in with Jordan. It's our first time competing in a big money league together. And he's 9-2 and I'm 5-6 fighting for the playoff spot. But his wide receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks.
And Antonio Brown.
And Antonio Brown. I mean, talk about like the perfect stack of wide receivers.
Okay, knock on wood.
But by the way, I would stash Brian Hill if you've got that spot on your bench going forward, because you never know when he's going to get his opportunity. But I'm going to quick hit the Panthers-Viking game next, just because there's not too much to spend time on there. Adam Thielen, coming off a huge game, is on the COVID list temporarily, but they haven't confirmed or denied that he actually tested positive. So it's possible he could play. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson are your guys over there. On the Panthers side of the ball, it's Mike Davis and throw a dart in terms of the wide receiver. Although I got burned this weekend because, oh God, I'm embarrassed to say, I sat Curtis Samuel for Marvin Hall. And Curtis Samuel's another one of those guys. He's like Nelson Agholor. It's like you almost have to see him produce consistently in like 4 out of 5 games or 4 out of 6 games to actually buy into him and say, I got to start this guy. And he does occasionally get a handoff as well. So that's an under-the-radar play. Next game on the slate that we're going to be looking at, Cardinals versus the Patriots. Jacob, you want to give us your take on that game?
Absolutely. All I got to say is start Murray. He's going to ball out, along with his partner in crime, DeAndre Hopkins. Expect huge numbers from them both. You know, the New England defense haven't been as good as they used to lately, you know, and I expect the Cards to take full advantage of that. With Drake and Edmonds both healthy, they both kind of cap each other's ceiling, even though they both make for a solid, like, low-end RB2 flex play. I would rather start Drake, but Edmonds is a fine flex play as well. And on the Patriots side, I don't see a huge game from Cam this week. He's my quarterback 17 in my rankings. If you have him, if you have to start him, just hope he has to run all game, because it's going to be tough sledding, because that Cardinals defense is pretty underrated. I do like Damian Harris as a RB1, RB2 sort of middling ground right there, because he is getting the majority of carries. It was really nice to see that Sony Michelle wasn't on the active roster, even though he's healthy, which means that Harris is going to get the bulk of the carries. And usually you can't trust the Patriots running backs, but you can trust Harris. He will get, you know, 10 to 20 carries depending on the game flow.
Yeah.
You know, and for all of you that started Jacoby Myers, I feel for you. You know, he was receiving a ton of targets in the previous few games and did barely anything last game. He's still the only wide receiver I trust on that Patriots team, but he's only a wide receiver 3.
Yep. Okay. And I think if you need a guy in PPR with Rex Burkhead, unfortunately, tearing his ACL, I don't think James White is that bad of a start, but only if you're desperate.
Yep. Jordan, why don't you quick hit the Browns and Jaguars game?
Yeah, not much to discuss. I mean, the Browns, surprising, I think all of us, 7-3, seem to get it done each week, no matter how much they score, how little they score. But I have the Browns in this matchup. I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are great plays this week. They rely on them a ton. Even though they didn't have huge weeks last week, Nick Chubb is good for around 20 carries a game. Kareem Hunt's good for at least like 4 or 5 targets a game. Jarvis Landry, I know he's disappointing each week.
I'm dropping.
I think this may be the week he breaks through, but I don't know. And then looking at the Jaguars, I think the only guy you can really must start is James Robinson. He's the only person who gets carries on the team. And then DJ Chark, I think he's an okay start. He's like a low wide receiver 3 flex if you're in 3 receiver.
I would agree, and I think the Broncos' main cover guy is actually
Browns. Yeah, Denzel Ward.
Main cover guy is going to be out with a calf injury. Jacob, what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I agree 100% with Jordan here. All I got to say is that Shark does receive a bit of an upgrade. Like you said, Denzel Ward is out, and if Ward was shadowing him, then Shark is just like a, oh, I guess if I have to start him in my wide receiver, you know, in like my flex spot, I will, but I'll try to look for another option. But with Ward out, I think that Jake Luton will have a better shot at getting him the ball more, because he wants to feed Shark. Yep. So Shark is definitely a volume-based wide receiver too this week.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. All right, moving on. Next. We got a rematch of the, I think it was week 10 or week 11. I think it was week 10, Thursday Night Football, Titans versus the Colts. Colts pick up a huge win last week against Green Bay due to their defense coming up with the fumble recovery in overtime. And whether it's special teams, defense, or offense, the Colts seem to be pretty even all around. They're great on offense. Phillip Rivers under the radar. I mean, he seems to get it done each week.
I think the big thing with Phillip Rivers is, again, like I say, like Alex Smith, he's smart. He knows his limitations. I think we saw a little bit of Tom Brady, you know, with maybe the arms getting a little bit of weak, throwing some ducks. Although when he gets doubted, he typically comes back. I think the Colts coach, Frank Reich, is just great in establishing an offense that just works to Rivers' strengths. Jonathan Taylor, again, good workout, good matchup this past weekend. I think he had over 20 carries. They have a very favorable schedule for him going forward, so I would expect him to put up numbers. Michael Pittman is starting to emerge as a nice wide receiver option. And on the Titans side of the ball, you know, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis are the guys you probably want to look for. Jacob, what's your take on that game?
Man, it's really hard to follow that up because you guys just hit it perfectly. You know, King Henry is a must start. I don't have to tell any of you guys that. I would fade Tannehill. AJ Brown is kind of like a boomer bust wide receiver 1. You know, he can have a huge week or he can put up a dud, which is frustrating, but you can't bench him. You know, you have to start your studs, like we said earlier. And finally, Jonnu Smith is becoming more consistent lately, which is great news for those tight end owners, because tight end is extremely thin this season. You know, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Colts divvy up the running back share this week after giving Taylor 22 carries, and he turned that into 90 yards along with four catches. You know, I really hope that they continue that trend. Even though I have Hines in another league, I think it's Jonathan Taylor's backfield, and they've just been like toying with him. Yep. You know, I think it's time that they just completely switch it to him. And I think that game flow really depends on whether it's Taylor or Hines. But, you know, as long as you give that man the ball 10 times in the first half, you have a decent shot at winning, because like Jordan said, the Colts are a very well-rounded team. Yep. With an amazing offensive line. So all you have to do is hand the ball to anyone, really, and they're going to succeed. Yep, you know, Taylor, absolutely. I have as my RB15 this week. And Hines is a PPR flex play. And, you know, I agree that Michael Pittman Jr., he, you know, this guy, he's a baller. And I really like how they've been using him. You know, like 2 games ago, they gave him like an end around, which he took for 20 yards. And they've just been giving screens to him. Like, they've been making sure that he gets the ball, which is extremely assuring to those who are thinking about starting him or not. You know, he's a rookie. He's going to disappear any time now. You know, well, they're forcing him the ball. So that's great news. If you want upside, he can definitely boom for you. He definitely has that potential boom. But he can also disappear. But, you know, they are forcing him the ball, which I really like.
Yep. I just want to mention real quick, if you're looking for a tight end, deep sleeper, Anthony Firkser on the Titans, I think he had more targets last week than Jonnu Smith. I know Jonnu Smith, whether he's running it in like on a jet sweep or just catching 1 yard touchdowns, he seems to find the end zone. But if you're deep sleeper, like a 14 man league, and you're in desperate need of a tight end, I think Anthony Firkser could help you out.
Yep.
But
next up, I'm going to quick hit the 49ers Rams game. I think the 49ers are hoping to get maybe back Deebo Samuels and Raheem Mostert. Tough season for the 49ers with injuries, tough to get things going. But again, if they're both back and you need a wide receiver or running back, you could do worse than those guys, I'll tell you. On the Rams side of the ball, coming off a huge win, Jared Goff, big plays, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. Wow. Big games from these guys. I think Van Jefferson even snuck in there. I probably would not turn to him unless, yeah, you know, you really needed a dart throw. And since all the teams are playing this week, even though there are still buys week 13, you probably won't want to turn to him. And it looks like Cam Akers is starting to show a little bit. Keep an eye on him. He's probably a flex play if you need a running back. But I like the way the Rams played this week. And, it, you know, it could be a sign of bigger things to come for them. Jacob, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the big question is, will Raheem Mostert play this week? I know he's been activated, you know, so hopefully he practices and he plays this week. Because if he plays, he vaults all the way up to probably a top 15, top 20 option for running backs, because we know how much the Niners like to run. And I love Ayuk this week. If he can get cleared from the COVID protocol, yep, he's definitely a wide receiver to play this week. And Deebo, man, it's been hard to not watch him play because he's so much fun to watch. You know, like Ayuk and Deebo are such gadget guys, yeah, along with this run game. I mean, if all those three guys, Mostert, Deebo, and Ayuk, are healthy, then this is going to be a fun team to watch. And it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Nick Mullins, who is just, I mean, sometimes he looks ready. Sometimes he looks like he is a competent quarterback. And then other times he just looks lost. So hopefully he does get those weapons around him. I really like, as a streamer this week, Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. Before the bye week, he caught 5 passes for 62 yards, and it was his second game back from injury. I think he has low-end tight end 1 potential this week. And as for the Rams, yeah, I think it's safe. I think it's safe to put Goff back in our top 15 list. You know, he's been very sporadic this season. It's been maddening. You know, Sean McVay, he either pounds the rock or he has Goff throw 50 times, which he threw 50 some odd times last night, which is insane. But he did have an incredible showing against a very tough Tampa Bay defense. He made Tampa Bay look average, which is insane because they are an elite defense. Goff is my quarterback 12 this week, and Kupp and Woods are both high-end wide receiver 2s with wide receiver 1 upside. Woods, you know, I heard that you had Woods, Jordan. Yes. I had Woods as well. I was down by 2.77 points. And I was a little nervous because Sean McVay's been toying with with how he runs his game plans week to week. But I mean, you know, with that early touchdown, it was over. I was like, okay, I can breathe.
I know, big games.
Happy that you got the win, but I'm kind of upset. I was playing my dad this weekend, one of my family leagues, both fighting for a playoff spot. Down by 30 coming in the weekend, I have Robert Woods, or it was like 32, and then at one point, I think I'm up by like 0.1, and then Robert Woods gets an end around for like negative 6 yards, and all of a sudden, I'm down. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I ended up losing by like 0.1. So
you have to see.
That lost you the game?
That lost me the game.
That hurts, dude. I am sorry to hear that.
It's all good, though.
I was going to say.
I think they tried like two. I think they tried two rushes for Woods, and both were negative yards. Or he just.
Yeah. I shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. So.
By the way, you have to see Jordan's reaction on plays like that. I mean, it's like somebody's just slicing him.
I'm sure it's a sight to see.
Yep. All right. I'm just going to touch up on the Saints versus Broncos game real quick. I mean, I said 2 or 3 weeks ago, pick up Taysom Hill, even as a tight end. And hopefully you guys listen to me because last week he.
Jordan played in how many leagues? Three leagues?
I think I played him in like 3 or 4 leagues. I was right when Schefter tweeted that Taysom Hill was looking like the starter. I picked him up in 4 leagues and I had like my opponents texting me, you're this and that. If you start him, don't do that. Don't do that. It's unfair. And
that's hilarious.
I had to start him. I mean, I think he was tight end 2. The crazy thing is he was tight end 2 last week. Kelce still outperformed him. And Taysom Hill was the quarterback, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I have some feelings on Hill as your tight end. So I am not against it because ESPN, he had him as a tight end.
Yep.
You use that to your advantage. You're not a bad person for doing that. You're just playing by the rules. I unfortunately had to face someone with Hill and I got beat down. You know, because I mean, how can you compete with that? You know, like I'm not a jealous person, but I was jealous that I didn't pick him up.
Same.
You know, that was my fault.
Same. I got him in every league that
I could. I bet all those people who texted you, Jordan's being like, you can't play him. They would have played him if they got him. Silly.
I think one of the interesting things to watch on the Saints side of the ball, and then we'll let Jacob preview the Broncos since he's a Bronco fan. He's based in Denver. Is how Taysom Hill affects Alvin Kamara. This past weekend, you know, Taysom Hill running the ball a lot and Kamara didn't have the games he typically has. The only other thing I would say, it seems like Michael Thomas has been rediscovered with Taysom Hill as a quarterback because I think he was targeted like 12 times and had his best game by far of the season. Jacob, what are your thoughts on the Broncos being a Broncos fan? I don't see much on the Broncos side this week, but take it away.
Broncos, my beloved Broncos. Yes, where do I begin? You know, for one, don't start Locke. You know, he's not it. And that Saints defense is for real. So I see Locke being clamped down. I see Gordon and Lindsay being clamped down, unfortunately. You know, like they're going to try to get the run game going with those two, and hopefully they can find some creases. But that Saints defense is nasty. You know, it's underrated. The Saints defense is actually a top 3 play for me if you are in defensive fantasy leagues. You know, the only decent plays I like are Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant, because I do believe that the Broncos are going to have to throw a lot in this game. You know, we did see that Taysom Hill started out slow last week. I believe it was just 6-3 or something of that sort at halftime, and then Hill kind of found his juju. He rushed for 2 touchdowns. He was throwing well. I think he found his groove. So I think he found it at the worst time for the Broncos, because Taysom Hill to me is a top 10 quarterback option this week with how he runs and how he found his groove late, which makes Michael Thomas definitely a top 15 play for me. And Kamara, I want to touch up on that. I saw a stat that said in his first 54 games, Kamara had at least 1 catch. Last week, he had 0 catches. So his game is definitely off, and his upside is definitely capped with Hill there. Hopefully they saw this, and hopefully they figured out ways to game plan around Kamara to get him more touches. But, you know, Kamara's still a top 3 option for me, but his upside, I mean, he could finish as RB10 or RB12 like he did last week, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. All right, we have three games left to go.
And just real quick before we hit those last three games, the home stretch, reminding all our listeners, Episode 8, Jacob's Dynasty Sports, with our special guest, fantasy expert Jacob Dunn.
Yep, all right. Probably a game of the week this week, 425 matchup, Kansas City versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady versus Pat Mahomes. I mean, after seeing how the Buccaneers performed this yesterday, I expect Kansas City to dominate as usual. I honestly don't see any world where Kansas City loses any games unless, God forbid, Mahomes gets injured or like a Kelsey gets injured. But you're starting everyone on the Chiefs offense except maybe Le'Veon Bell. Hilaire is a start for me. Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. Mecole Hardman, I know I said not a bad start last week, but I think he is starting to fall under the ladder. I think
Radar.
Sprinkle, whatever his name is starting to bump up a little bit with Watkins out. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but and looking at the Tampa Bay side, Tom Brady, I mean, the Chiefs defense is underrated. I think Tom Brady's startable just because it's going to be, in my opinion, a high-scoring game, but Mike Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown. I like Antonio Brown a lot this week. He got 13 targets yesterday.
Yeah, he's force feeding
him. Yeah, and PPR, I like him a lot. And then in the running back backfield, I thought Ronald Jones was finally going to take over, and then they just resort back to Leonard Fournette, and then it's just up in the air at this point.
The only thing I'm going to add to that is GOAT versus GOAT. I mean, this is like a dream matchup, especially if you were like playing Madden or something like that, but I think it's like the new guy in town, the current MVP, the current Super Bowl winner against, you know, Tom Terrific trying to hang on. But I agree with Jordan. I expect the Chiefs to put a beat down on the Bucs, a little bit extra motivation to show that Mahomes is the new man in town. And there was one other thing I wanted to add to that I cannot think of at the moment. So if I think about it, what I actually wanted to say, I read today, and this is unfortunate, that for the second time this season, Tom Brady did not shake hands with Jared Goff last night. It's the same thing that he did earlier in the season to Nick Foles. No coincidence that he played both of these teams in the Super Bowl, but the press is starting to pick up on it, and Tom's not doing himself any favors. He's like a golden boy. Nobody can touch him.
He got a beatdown last night, so
I don't think he just... And he threw that interception at the end, which basically cost him a chance to win. But, I mean, he can't do that. I mean, you're a role model for these guys. But, Jacob, what's your thoughts on that game?
What's funny is that I did see who was it? Shannon Sharp. He called him out for it. Mm-hmm. This morning he called out Tom for not shaking hands. You know, and everyone's like, it's COVID, he's not supposed to shake hands. Well, he shook hands with a bunch of other quarterbacks in the season, but won't shake hands with him.
Right.
But yeah, it was weird. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to say that the Buccaneers are going to get beat down. I do think that the Chiefs win, but I think every week is a new week. They're going to regroup. They're going to figure out what they did wrong because Tom is just too smart to get beat like that again, at least twice in a row. You know, it's going to be tough to beat Tom, especially in Tampa Bay, in Tampa Bay. But I really like CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week. I got a ton of questions last week asking, do I start him or, you know, let's just put X. You know, X is like a middling RB2 flex play. And I was like, I think you start CEH because he's coming off a bye, and I think the Chiefs see that he needs the ball more, and they just have to regroup and get him integrated back into the flow of the game because Bell ain't it. You know, he's just a deep league flex play right now. He's past his prime, and I just think he's just going to come in relief of Clyde. Clyde is spry. He's shifty. He's definitely the RB1 there, and I think he is a top 15 play this week. I mean, he got 15 touches last week and 2 touchdowns. And Tyreek Hill is a top 10 play. No doubt he's a beast and should be started everywhere. Travis Kelce, he should be benched, guys.
He's my favorite player.
Just kidding. I think I would get fired if I was for real. He's definitely the number one tight end this week. And Hardman, like you said, he's kind of like a boomer bust wide receiver 3. You know, I remember once I told someone to bench him in favor of someone who did decent. All of a sudden, he gets like 90 yards and a score. He gets that big play. So he does have that boom potential. But who actually starts him when he actually booms? You know, so it's really tough to trust him. And And I like any quarterback going up against the Chiefs because I know that they're going to have to throw.
Right.
And Tom has the skill to keep up in this game. So Tom is still a top 10 option for me. He's right at my quarterback 8. He should have a great game and a negative game script, which makes it Evans, Godwin, AB solid plays. I really can't trust either running back, either Rojo or Leonard Fournette. But if I'm going to have to roll with one, I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette because it will be a negative game script and he is their pass catching back.
Awesome. I'm just going to touch upon these last two games real quick because we're running a little low on time. Sunday Night Football, Chicago versus Green Bay. Not really much to say. I think the Packers pick up the win after a tough loss last week against the Colts. You're starting Rodgers, you're starting Adams, Aaron Jones, obviously. Lazard, I think
he's back.
I would stay away from him just because the Bears defense has been decent this year.
Number one against the receivers.
Yeah, I think they've given up maybe 5 or less passing touchdowns this year. But obviously, that's not going to stop you from benching Devontae Adams. And then looking at the Chicago side, I think David Montgomery's coming back this week.
Yeah, I like David Montgomery just based on the volume.
I don't think it's a bad start. And then the only other guy I can really see starting is Allen Robinson just because he gets the targets, doesn't really drop many passes, and big red zone threat.
Yep. Jacob, you want to finish it out for us with the Seahawks versus the Eagles on Monday night, culmination of hopefully what's a great Thanksgiving weekend?
I would love to, absolutely. Yeah, Russell Wilson is about to cook. He's my third-ranked quarterback this week. Metcalf and Lockett are both top 10 options this week at wide receiver. Carson looks on track to play and should slide right back into 15 to 20 touches, making him an RB1. And if you're looking for a deep league streamer at tight end because your tight end ain't doing it, then Will Disley is your man. You know, with Greg Olsen going down, Disley is the de facto number one tight end in a pass-happy offense. He played on 65% of the snaps last week and should slide right into Olsen's pass-catching role. And as far as the Eagles, Wentz is hard to trust after an awful week. 11, but I do think he gets back on track facing a Seahawks defense giving up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. He's my quarterback 20, so he's kind of in that quarterback 2 range. Miles Sanders also struggled, but you can't argue with that talent and volume. He's still an RB1 and my 9th ranked running back this week. And the only pass catching options I'm really interested in are Dallas Goedert and Jalen Reagor. Goddard's my tight end 6, and Jalen Reagor is a solid wide receiver 3, you know, and they're both going up against a Seattle team giving up the most fantasy points to wide receivers, but I see Seahawks beating them pretty handily. I see them beating them by 7 to 10 points.
Yep, no, definitely. Well, Jacob, we just want to thank you so much for taking time on your busy schedule to join us this evening. If you want to talk just briefly about your Twitter handle or where to find your articles again, where people should follow you, we'd appreciate if you go ahead and do that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @AintDoneYet, and done is spelled D-U-N-N-E. Follow me for articles, rankings, previews, and the occasional laugh. You know, and I just wanted to say thank you both for having me on. I had a ton of fun talking football with you guys, and I love your father-son combo of this podcast. You know, it's really refreshing to see, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Thank you again for joining us, and I'll just let everybody know I was reading through some of Jacob's articles today. He has a top fantasy streamer for week 12 article that has some really good options. We talked about them through the course of the show today, but again, Jacob, as we said, number one in the country in week 10 for fantasy accuracy among experts, number 10 for the season. And based on the way things go on tonight with some of the tips he gave us, I have no doubt he'll be moving up before the end of the season. I have to give a shout out to our fan of the week, JJ Sundheim. JJ, we appreciate you listening every week, joining the show. Your dad always asked me when we're recording so he could put it on right after. Again, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening. Please like, share, 5 stars, even if you don't like it. Tell all your friends. And again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We
happy Thanksgiving.
It. And thank you again, Jacob, for joining us.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right, have a good one, guys. Thank you for listening.